now in session.
It is Friday, November 1st, 2019, an 8-game slate to close out the week. Welcome to DG Courtroom. I'm your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, at DG Courtroom. Posting a lot of content up there, a lot of stories each day that hopefully you guys find entertaining and informative to help you prepare for that night's slate. And make you giggle, make you laugh. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. When I tweet the link, please hit that lovely retweet button. Man, guys, it is late. 4:37 Eastern in the morning. So hopefully I won't fall asleep in the middle of the show. We're going to get to this 8-game slate rather quickly because, man, I am weary. I forgot. I mean, last year I know I did these shows late. But, man, I mean, the games end on the East Coast, you know, a little after 1 a.m. Eastern. And then by the time I'm done prepping and doing all my research so I can give you a coherent show that makes sense, man, it's really, really freaking late. So, you know, don't have much time to waste. Quickly, though, housekeeping. As most of you know by now, Slack is wonderful, and it's back. You want to join, message me on Twitter or Instagram, send me a postcard. By the way, does anyone still use the mail? Like, I still have to use the mail once a month to send out a rent check, and it drives me insane. Like, why I can't do that electronically? My landlord is awful. All landlords in New York City are awful, but it's just, it's amazing. I got to find a stamp, a mailbox. That's like a 5-hour adventure. It really is. Man. But you can message me on Twitter, Instagram, or, no, I guess you can send me a postcard, right? You guys don't know exactly where I live. I'm not giving you my address. The bailiff is here. Man, I don't know what I'll do to the bailiff. Again, it is $20 for the month of November. Really trying to make some nice improvements to Slack that you won't get anywhere else in other, you know, Discords or Slack or, you know, because, you know, most other places around the industry, it's simply a chat room, right? We try to do more. I'm constantly trying to improve the Slack experience. We just made created a new channel called The Process where I'm posting my cash game lineups every night in there, and I'm giving you kind of my thought process that goes into my cash game analysis and my cash game picks, and really doing a deep dive of each night's slate. Now, I won't be able to do it every night, but I'm going to do it as much as I can because, look, if you're playing DFS and you're solely at the end of the night or, you know, I know some of you guys go to bed before the East Coast games end, right? And maybe in the morning you open up your app, you see, oh, I won $200 or I lost, you know, $200 or whatever it is, and then you go on to the next day's slate. That's not the right way to do it. If you want to take DFS serious and be a legitimate, profitable player, you gotta spend some time. It doesn't have to be hours. Even if it's only, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day. I tend to spend about an hour reviewing each slate, going over my cash lineup, seeing if my projections, and also the minutes that I had projected for guys, you know, how accurate was that? I like to compare my lineups to the other top players in the industry. You know, I'm checking winning lineups in tournaments. I'm checking cash game lineups. I'm checking all kinds of stuff. And I'm also obviously keeping track of my return on investment in all the different contests I enter. Because as the season goes, we must evolve. Evolve or die, right? If you notice certain trends, which you will, if you're keeping track of all this and you're analyzing your results and you're analyzing the slates, you will notice trends. You will notice, hey, I keep winning in, you know, contest X, but I keep losing all my money in contest Y. Well, then it makes some sense to keep, you know, budget more of my bankroll into contest X, right? You will notice some things, and you will become a better, more profitable DFS player. So again, like that channel called The Process in Slack. Hopefully, people seem to be liking that, and we will continue that. You also get my crack core 4, kind of the guys I'm going to build around daily. You get a spreadsheet of all my top plays every day. You get a chance to play in the best tournament in the land called Chambers. And then starting next week, not today, not Friday, starting next week, we're going to do it twice. We're going to pool all our money together, and then on Wednesday and Friday next week, which is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to try to slay the monster, enter a high stakes contest on FanDuel, and then also battle Chipotle in a head to head. We've done that the last couple of years. It's just a lot of fun. It's a good way to all of, for all of us to be interactive and break up the monotony of just kind of cheering on our own lines. We can kind of band together. Everyone can root for the same players for a night, which is a lot of fun. So again, that will be next week. I will have more details on that on Monday's show. Remember though, you do have to be in a member of Slack to participate in trying to slay the monster and battle Chipotle. All right, that's it, man. I'm tired. We got to get into this slate. I can't waste time. I don't even have time to roast Big Fatty, Big Smelly, Big Tubby, Big Chubby, Big Honey, Jokic. I mean, are you guys watching Denver play? Jokic is a downright disaster right now. He's clearly put on 15, 20 pounds in the offseason at least. He's huffing and puffing out there. Against the Pelicans on Thursday, what a despicable, awful performance by the Nuggets. And, I mean, Mike Malone, rightfully so, even though I had 100% Jokic, and I had, actually, I had 95% Murray in that fast-paced game against the Pelicans. Mike Malone, rightfully so, benched his starters for most of the fourth quarter because they had no effort, no energy, no fight. It was embarrassing. In his last three games, Jokic, he's averaging 11 points. There was some legit MVP chatter about Jokic this year. 11 points a game? Are you kidding me? And defensively, he's getting roasted. Rashawn Holmes, a couple nights ago, had 25 and 15 or something crazy. Just killed him. And then on Thursday, Okafor had, 25 points? And almost all of that was in the second half, too. I mean, Okafor just kept attacking him relentlessly, and Okafor just had no resistance. Now, he's never been an elite defender, but just something to watch going forward. I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe he's just bored. I mean, it is a long season. And Denver, did have really high expectations. So maybe teams are a little more prepared and gunning for them a little bit more this year. But Denver just doesn't look right. And by the way, they need to make a trade anyway. They have lots of decent players. Lots of, I would say, good players even. But not great players, right? I mean, all the Gary Harrises, the Barton, the Beasley, the Craig, the Morris. Even if you want to go, Grant and Millsap's now old. All those guys are good, solid pieces in a rotation, right? They hope Jamal Murray's going to be a star. He's not a star yet. They need to package some of those pieces together and make a trade for someone. And now, originally, I was hoping they would try to get Beal, but now that Beal signed that extension, I don't know if that can happen. But we'll see. Either way, now we let it go, right? We let it go. We let go of our anger of Jokic, and we move on to Friday. All right, Oki, where are you at? Let's do this. By the way, we're off to a really good start this year. I think I've cashed or made a profit 8 out of 11 nights, which is, I can't complain with that. Haven't hit a big payday yet. But in the game to profit and make money each night, and I'll take 8 out of 11 nights to start the year. That's for sure. So we keep it going. The good thing about Friday is we have an 8-game slate, not an 11-game slate. I feel every day it's been 3 games, 11, 3, 11. An 8-game, that's right in our wheelhouse. It's basically the perfect number of games. And this is a really great slate. A lot of nice games to attack. You have a few that stand out, but there's some things that we can take advantage of, and I'm looking forward to it already. All right, we kick it off with what, on the surface, looks like a sickening, disgusting game. Cleveland and Indiana. 212 over-under. Indiana is a 7.5-point favorite. These are two teams that I dread watching because they play at a pace That makes me cringe. They crawl the ball up the court. And we'll start with Cleveland, and really it's a two-man show. Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. You, audience members, can you guess how many of those two fantasy points together are averaging? Just throw out a number.
60.
No, more than 60.
75.
No, more than 75, miss.
90.
Yes, 90. They're averaging about 90 fantasy points together. Would you sign up for that every night? Yeah. So, hey, why not? Let's just make life easy, right? Let's just roster Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson against a banged-up Indiana team, right? No Sabonis. You know, who else are they missing? I think they're missing Summer Knights. That Sumner guy is going to be out. Not that that really matters. Is TJ Warren also out? No, he's in. Why is Doug McDermott starting? Oh, yeah, because Miles Turner's out. That's why. Doug, by the way, Doug McDermott, this was 2 years ago now already. Doug McDermott, believe it or not, you youngsters out there, if you haven't been listening to the show for 2-3 years, you might not know this, but there was a night, I swear this is true, for whatever reason, that Doug McDermott was chalk. He really was. I think that was when he was on the Bulls. I don't remember who the hell was out for Chicago. I don't even know who was on Chicago that year. But he was super chalk, and he did what Doug McDermott does best. Suck ass. And he put up, it may have been negative fantasy points. I may have been zero. It couldn't have been more than three. We gave him a nickname after that, and we called him Those We Don't Speak Of. I think it was from that movie, The Village. What was the exact phrasing? This is the problem when I do a show this late. God damn, it's going to drive me nuts. It's going to drive me nuts. I think it was Those We Don't Speak Of. I think that's what we nicknamed him. Anyway, he allegedly is starting for Indiana. That's scary. But going back to the Cavs. So look, if you want to start your lineup with Love and Thompson, I'm not going to argue. I've rostered a little bit of Love. I've missed this Tristan Thompson renaissance. There's still time to jump on. He's 7.8K on FanDuel, and on DraftKings, he's 6.8. So, honestly, for his production, that's too cheap. I mean, he's playing 35 minutes a night, and the thing that is just mind-blowing to me is that he's taking like 18 shots a game, which he's never done. He's super consistent, too. I mean, 32, 49, 38, and 52 this year. That screams cash game play, right? And you can even roll him out in tournaments. Both sites. And Kevin Love, I mean, Kevin Love's a little pricier. He's 8.8K on FanDuel, and he's 9.3 on DraftKings. I'm not going to pay 9.3. I'm just not. But he had 20 rebounds last game. His usage is not as great, but he's basically the point guard. I've been saying this in the last few podcasts, right? Like, they're running almost all of their offense through Kevin Love because they don't have a point guard. Darius Garland, I don't know why he exists. Like, he just does nothing on the court, and a lot of that is because he's playing with Colin Sexton, who just is an atrocious ball handler. Is not a point guard, and I don't know. I don't know what the hell to make of Sexton. If like what his role is going to be, I can't envision him being a starting level player. In a couple years from now, maybe on a awful team, maybe. But I don't know. Like I just don't see it from that backcourt yet. Now again, the Garland and Sexton, they're still really young. It's a new coach. It's a new system. Can they figure it out? Maybe. They're dirt cheap. You know, they keep popping up in certain optimal lineups because of their price. But really, it's a two-man show. It's Love and Thompson. Thompson I prefer on both sites. Love maybe a little bit on FanDuel I would play. But 8-game slate, you don't have to go crazy here. On the Indiana side, the guy who, you know, I knew the Bucks were going to miss Brogdon, but I didn't think they'd miss him this much. I mean, if you watch the Bucks play, they just don't have a lot of talent. They don't. Like, the Bucks are pretty similar to Denver, right? Except Giannis, obviously, is better than Jokic. But They have a lot of nice pieces. Middleton's fine. Bledsoe in the regular season is okay. But they don't really have... I mean, Giannis needs a second guy. Like a second... Like a legit all-star. Middleton's not a legitimate all-star. He wouldn't make all-star team in the West. And they really need Brogdon. I mean, they miss him. Man, they really miss him if you watch that Milwaukee team play. And Brogdon has been phenomenal for Indiana. I mean, his price has skyrocketed up to 9.2K. I mean, he started the freaking season at 6.5K. I mean, that's almost a three. I don't remember. I'm trying to remember if in previous years, if a player has jumped over 3K in the first week of the season. I'm sure there must have been one or two. But like that's an insane jump. And but it's like his pricing is justified. He's up to 8.8 on DraftKings. I mean, he's been super consistent, 43, 52, 45, and 57 fantasy points, and he's not even shooting well. You know, on the 5 of 17 and 7 of 19 last two games. He's getting like 11, 12 assists a game. A lot of steals, rebounds. I mean, he's really stuffing the stat sheet. It's impressive, and now he gets a really juicy matchup because Cleveland defensively is awful. Again, the pace is not great in this game, but that backcourt, he can exploit them. They're missing Turner. And I know you look at it at first glance, and it seems expensive, but it's fine. Like I still think you can play him at that price. Now, did he make my first lineup, the first few lineups that I made, that I built? No, he did not at 9.2 and 8.8 on DraftKings. But I'm not going to argue if you want to play Brogdon. I'm just not. Like, he's been really good, and I'm fine with it. Sabonis, you can take some shots on. Like FanDuel's been doing a really good job with pricing. I've been mentioning this. And, you know, if you play on multiple sites and you notice that you have an advantage with pricing on one site over the other, I have no issue with playing more of your money on that site. I think it was Wednesday. On Wednesday, I noticed that on FanDuel, no matter what I did, I could not get a lineup I liked because the pricing was just so tight. But on DraftKings, I could build all kinds of juicy stuff. Now, one of that is because of a position flexibility, right? You have guys who are power forward and center. You can play them at multiple positions. But DraftKings just you had some market inefficiencies you could take advantage of, whereas FanDuel, it was very, very hard to do that. So on Wednesday, I moved a little bit more of my money over to DraftKings, and I played a little bit more on that site. Another thing that you can do, don't be afraid to do that. Take advantage, get any advantage when you can. So Sabonis at 8.8K on FanDuel, 8.7 on DraftKings. So both sites have done a good job pricing him up without Turner. I don't think I'm going to pay that. Could he pay that off? I guess, but, you know, even if he puts up a big game, let's say he gets 20 points, 15 rebounds, like, that's not even enough. He's got, at that price, he's got to get us, like, 40, at least 45. So, I'm probably going to look elsewhere at that price. TJ Warren, Lamb, those guys, their prices have both jumped up about $1,000 too. So I don't really want to go to anyone else from Indiana. If you have to as a last piece, you can. Now, those we don't speak of, Doug McDermott, if he does start, you know, sure. You know, anyone who's the minimum, if he's starting and he's going to project for 24 minutes, you can consider. But I still would probably look elsewhere. The one guy who is staring back at me is Justin Holiday. Like, if you listen to the show last year, like, we played Justin Holiday so many slates because he basically was what he is on Friday. He's 3.8K on FanDuel, and on DraftKings, he's 3.3K. I mentioned Sumner's out. That gives him even more minutes for Holiday. He's still playing, like, 24 minutes a night, and he's grinding his way like he always does to around 20 fantasy points. So are you ever going to be thrilled to play him? No, but as a last piece, you know, if you need to punt Justin Holiday, you know, he does enough. I mean, he'll get you some steals and some rebounds, and you hope he makes a couple threes. Don't think you need to do it, but just pointing it out. Next game. This game is juicy. It's Houston at Brooklyn, a 241 over-under. Houston's a 3.5-point favorites. Last game out, Houston against Washington was 159 to 158 in regulation, not even overtime. What, 317 total points? That's a high scoring game in I don't know how many years. I don't ever recall seeing a game like that. It was amazing. Luckily, I had a lot of Harden. I had some Westbrook. Didn't have Beal. I wish I would have had Beal. I wish I would have stacked that game up. So, if you looking at games and you see a 241 over-under, hell, you know what you can do, right? Stock it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh, no. Stock it, baby. Stock it, baby. Stack it, baby. I'm telling you, stack this game up any way you want. I mean, like, one thing that we haven't really taken into consideration, losing Chris Paul and bringing in Westbrook. Like, Houston played really freaking slow in previous years. And a lot of that is because Chris Paul is old and he's slow. I mean, Russ is just a different animal, right? I mean, I swear, man, he has more energy this year than I think I've ever seen. Like, he just flies around the court like a freaking madman. He's grabbing every freaking rebound in sight on the offensive and defensive end. He's pushing the pace like crazy. Man, it is so much fun to watch. And Chris Paul, like, you know, as much as we give him, make fun of him, he's still like a really good defender. Russ, not the same defender. Russ doesn't really care about defense. So this is just a different Houston team, and I mean, this reminds me more of the D'Antoni Suns, like the Phoenix Suns, D'Antoni's offense, where, you know, 7 seconds or less is jacking up shots. And I don't know. I mean, we could be seeing a lot of Houston games that just get out of hand, and with not much defense. Not to mention, who does Brooklyn have? Kyrie Irving, awful defender, and DeAndre Jordan, Jared Allen. We love to attack Brooklyn centers, right? So this is a game that screams, stack it up, flip it, rub it down. Velvet DeVoe, baby. How many of you are even old enough to... It's funny when I go look at songs and I realize, I bet you like 75% of the audience, the listeners, won't even know who that band was. I mean, I think Velvet DeVoe, they were big in the 90s. I mean, in the 90s. How many of you were even born in the 90s? But man, when I was growing up, they were hot, man. So, yeah, I love this game. Obviously, Harden, he's 11.2K on FanDuel. He's 11K on DraftKings. So they did up his price, especially on DraftKings. But it's about time. They should. I think he was like 10K on Wednesday. Russ is 10.2 on FanDuel and 9.8 on DraftKings. The first few optimal builds that I made are when I just pressed the optimize button. I was getting, let's see, who was I getting? Let me look. On FanDuel, I was getting Westbrook and Harden and Eric Gordon, who we'll talk about in a second. On DraftKings, I'm getting a lot of Clint Capella, a little bit of Harden, and a tiny bit of Russ. But I know when I made my first few lineups, I put Russ, I put Harden right in there. Now, There's a lot of nice point guards on this slate. So I'm not sure ultimately if my main cash game lineup, it will end with Russ and Harden. But if it does, nothing wrong with that. Again, Westbrook, the usage is about 25% or so. But he's just doing everything. Like, he really is. The assists and the rebounds. I mean, the rebounding is great. I mean, especially how he crashes when he gets defensive rebounds, then he pushes pace. But also on the offensive glass, he's great. You know, he's giving you right around, you know, a little over 50 fantasy points. And then Harden finally seems that he found a shot last game, 75 fantasy points. Shot, what, 18 of 32 from the field. 17. Wow. Last two games, he's averaged 20 free throws. Jesus, 12. It was what, 6 of 14 from three last game. So Harden, the usage. You know, this is what I was screaming at people. The first week of the season, Russ. I mean, people were scared to roster Harden. They thought Russ was going to impact him negatively. No, nonsense. Not only is it, I mean, the usage is not going to go down at all. But also, because the pace is going to be so much better, Harden could even have a better fantasy year this year. He really could. So, again, love the Harden play. And then I love more from this game. I want as much as we can get, right? So, like, on Wednesday, I tried Eric Gordon. Look, we know what Eric Gordon is going to do. He's going to jack up, you know, 8, 9, 10 threes, maybe more. But he just doesn't do much else. He's 4K on DraftKings. He's 4.4. I still don't mind that as a last piece. You know, on Wednesday, he just didn't stumble into anything else. Not a steal or a rebound or assist. You know, hope he can get a couple of those. But, I mean, Daniel, I'm not even going to argue if you want to go the Daniel House right, the Daniel House route, because he does do some other things on the court. Like, he does get some steals. He's more likely to get some rebounds. Whereas Eric Gordon, it is funny if you watch him play, he really just does go from three-point line to three-point line on both the offensive and defensive end. Like, he never goes inside the paint at all. He doesn't even try to get rebounds. Like, if the ball's coming near him and he sees a Westbrook, he runs out of the way and he lets Russ get the rebound. He knows his role pretty well. So, I mean, House last game, 7 rebounds. It would take Eric Gordon 2 weeks to get 7 rebounds. So, if you want to go House in the cash game over Gordon, I'm fine with it. Now, in a tournament, I don't think you'd really want to play those guys. Capella, I also have some interest in Capella, right? We always want to attack these Brooklyn bigs. So, Capella was great last game. Well, everyone was great in that 159 to 158 total. But he had 44 fantasy points, so I'm fine with him. 8.3 on FanDuel. 7.4 on DraftKings, so fine with it. On the Brooklyn side, you know, how good is Brooklyn going to be? That's a more interesting, you know, macro level question. Kyrie, there's already articles being, you know, written about how he's so moody, and you know, the Nets organization is worried. Not to mention they've been losing games defensively; they've been awful. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see how they do in real life. But in terms of fantasy, Kyrie, see, he may have the highest usage rate in the league. I think it's, what, 36% right now? Something like that. Maybe Trae Young's the only one that's a little bit higher. So he's been great offensively. So him versus Russ versus Harden, those three. Now, could you play Harden, Irving, and Russ? Yeah. I mean, you have to go, you know, 5 or 6 bums. On DraftKings, I don't even know if you can do that. On FanDuel, you'd probably have to play, what, 6 bums with that? It'd be tough. Probably not optimal. But you could certainly get 2 or 2 out of those 3 for sure. So nothing wrong with Kyrie. Again, Beal just torched Houston simply because of the pace. Also, Washington just made every shot they took. I mean, it was something. I mean, Bertans hasn't missed a shot in like the last 2 games. He's, I don't know what he is. He literally was perfect against the Spurs. And then last game, he was just raining threes as well. That goofy guy, man. It was crazy. So, again, I like Kyrie a lot. LeVert, it's fine. Goofy Joe Harris, I'm just done. I'm done for the time being with Goofy Joe. Taurean Prince, DeAndre Jordan, they're staring at me. As of right now, you know, I don't have a ton of exposure. I think I like Houston more than Brooklyn, but we'll see. The one other guy who I think is interesting is Spencer Dinwiddie, and only because I don't know what's going on with him, but he has like a 30% usage rate. He's been really consistent, too, to start the year. He gets 26, 27 minutes right in that range. He's giving you over 30 fantasy points, but he's jacking up the ball. You know, his shot, 17 shots last game. You know, and he still is getting you 6, 7, 8 assists. So, Spencer Dinwiddie, 5.9 on FanDuel, and 5.1, I think. Where is he? 5.3 on DraftKings. So maybe like a little bit more on DraftKings. But another interesting guy, especially if you want to stack that game up. All right, Bucks, Magic. Don't like a lot here. Just Orlando's become a team. I basically hate watch Orlando. Augustin and Fournier, you know, never fun to ever roster those two. Just why do they exist? Aaron Gordon is the epitome of the why do they exist question. You know, I like Aaron, you know, Aaron Gordon and Isaac. Defensively, both those guys are really good. Guard multiple positions, can switch anything, can basically guard almost anyone in the league. Aaron Gordon showed some signs last game. 35 fantasy points. That's easily his best of the year. I don't like the fact that the guy's not even averaging 30 minutes a night. Like, that concerns me. Isaac is playing a little bit more than that. Isaac's been a little bit more consistent than Aaron Gordon because Isaac is just an alien. With his length, he can get you, you know, 6, 7, 8 steals and blocks alone. Last game, 3 blocks. The game before that, he had 3 steals. I mean, every game this year, he's had at least 2 blocks. So, especially on a site like FanDuel, I don't mind the Isaac play. It's just overall this game, I don't have a ton of, you know, I like, so there's so much good stuff to play on this slate. I don't think we need to do it. Gordon or Isaac in tournaments if you want to. Vucevic, I think I just like other guys better on this slate. On the Bucks side, Giannis is fine, 11.6K on FanDuel. And 10.9. Like, he's basically going overlooked on most slates. So, from a leverage standpoint, a game theory standpoint, you could probably get him much lower owned than any of the other stars right now. But I don't know. I mean, last game against Boston, he wasn't very good, and he still popped off, what, 52 fantasy points, right in that range? I'll have some exposure to Giannis, although he certainly didn't make my first cash game lineup. And P.S., the Bucks, I don't know what they're going to do, man. Like, talent-wise, they don't have a lot of talent. They don't. I mean, I don't know. Or maybe they don't have enough elite talent, is the right way of saying that. So I don't really have desire to play the Bledsoes and Middletons, Wes Matthews and Lopez brothers and all those guys. It's just not for me. Knicks Celtics, there's no line here yet. I don't know why. Who's questionable? Oh, Jaylen Brown? We can't have a... Really? Jaylen Brown's that important? We can't have a freaking line on a game? For the Knicks, it's still, I guess, going to be a two-man race for me with the Knicks. Barrett and Randall will be the two guys I'd look to. Barrett struggled that last game, but I mentioned on the pod, and even with the Bucks facing Orlando, like the Orlando, like they're a good defensive team. Like they're just really sound. And I told you, I mean, Gordon, especially in the front court, Gordon and Isaac, and on the perimeter, they're long. They're stingy, and they play slow, especially until with Augustine. If Fultz gets in the game, he picks up the pace a bit. But it was a really tough matchup for RJ Barrett, and he struggled. He had his worst game by far. Not concerned with it. He can bounce back. Not a good matchup, though, again. So I don't think I want to play really any Knicks here. Randall maybe in some tournaments. Barrett maybe in some tournaments. Again, they're. I mean, Fizdale said he didn't start Frankie Nicotine because he didn't want him to get in foul trouble. I forgot someone on Twitter went and put out like Frankie Nicotine's like fouls per 36 minutes, and it was like really low. So like that rationale made no freaking sense. Fizdale, it's close when you consider like which coaches do we hate the most. It's hard, right? Fizdale's definitely on the list. Walton's on the list. Carlisle, who has a new starting lineup every damn night, is on the list. Who else would be on the list? Dwayne Casey, he should not be a coach. It's embarrassing. There's a lot of guys. But Fizdale, right at the top. And he doesn't play Frankie Nicotine many minutes. Mitchell Robinson, he can't even get 20 minutes. Last game, Mitchell Robinson got off to a phenomenal start, and he still doesn't play 20 minutes. He's yet to play 20 minutes this season. I don't know what in the F Fizdale is doing. He's such an ass. He really is. He's a clown. And it's a shame because I liked him. He was a Miami assistant. I liked him down there. And then I liked him at Memphis. I thought he got a raw deal when he coached Memphis because Marc Gasol... He benched Marc Gasol one game, and then after that, basically got fired like the next day. But then you heard a bunch of stories behind the scenes, and now, you know, you start to kind of think, well, maybe Marc Gasol was right. And these Knicks, it's going to be mostly a pass. You can take a shot in tournaments with Bobby the Penis Portis, sure. I mean, the other guy Fizdale is going to probably play is Marcus Morris, because for some reason the Morris brothers have to get big minutes. I don't know why. They stink, but they play, so whatever. The Boston side, if Jaylen Brown plays, it's a pass for me. I guess Daniel Theis, if he's going to get the start still, because Enes the Penis Kanter is out. Oh, if Enes was playing, it could have been a double penis game with Bobby the Penis and Enes the Penis. But Enes is out still. So I guess Daniel Theis, if he's going to get the start still, I'd have some interest there. 3.9K on FanDuel and 4.2 on DraftKings. I mean, I think he last game, didn't we play him in cash? I think we did, right? And he got us like 25 fantasy points, something like that, last game against the Bucks. So, like, that's fine. But, like, Boston, they have too many guys. They just do. Like, who's going to get the ball? Who's going to shoot? Who's going to get hot? I don't know. I mean, Kemba, Jaylen, Tatum, Gordon Hayward, even Marcus Smart, all those guys, you know, they all do isolation. They all like to handle the ball. They all can get hot. I don't see myself rostering many Celtics in this game. I know someone already mentioned, you know, oh, no, this game's not at MSG. Someone in Slack was talking about Kemba going back to MSG. This game's in Boston, man, so that's not the case. Now, if Jaylen Brown is out, then I guess I'd have some interest. You know, then Marcus Smart becomes a fine cash game play at 5.4K on FanDuel and 4.9 on DraftKings. He was really good last game. Now, we all know what Marcus Smart at this point, we all know what he is. Great defender, plays really freaking hard, but he takes awful shots. He may brick all of them. He may give you 8 fantasy points, but last game he was tremendous on both ends of the court. But it's just really hard because Tatum, he's basically Andrew Wiggins out there. He shoots a lot. I mean, he took 22 shots last game, which was great. I think multiple games this year he's taken over 20 shots. But he doesn't get to do much else. I mean, Kemba's handling the ball a ton. And then Gordon Hayward. Like, Gordon Hayward thinks he's LeBron out there. And does a lot of the ball handling. And there's long stretches where Jason Tatum doesn't touch the ball. So, I don't think I want to play Tatum. Even though this is a really, you know, should be a pretty easy matchup for Boston, right? As the Knicks aren't good defensively. But I just, you know, if Brown's in, I'll probably pass. If Brown's out, I'd rank them Smart. Then probably Hayward. I mean, Hayward almost got a triple-double last game and looked really good on both ends. I mean, both ends, when I say both ends, I mean, at least he was crashing, getting some rebounds on the defensive end. So I do like Hayward a lot. And then I guess Kemba and then Tatum. But like I don't know what if Tatum's not going to be able to handle the ball much and be a playmaker, I don't know what his ceiling is, and if he's not going to crash the glass either. So I don't know. Just don't love a lot there. I'm hoping Jaylen Brown plays, so I can just kind of stay away from that game. Detroit Chicago, 216 over under. Bulls 3.5 point favorites here. So Markieff Morris, these stupid Morris brothers, he's questionable. Like, man, am I praying that he's out. If he's out, then you think that Dwayne Casey would finally have to give Christian Wood minutes, right? You would think, but knowing Casey, he'll probably start Thon Maker and play him 30 minutes. I mean, Christian Wood, only 15 minutes last game. I love his aggressive style. I think he had 7 free throws in like 15 minutes. Markieff Morris, who played 30 minutes last game, he hasn't taken a free throw in 3 of his last 4 games because he sucks. He can't go to the basket because he's not athletic. He's old, he's broken down, he's an awful basketball player. I don't know why he's still in the NBA. Marcus is a better player by far. But look, if Markieff does play at 4.4K, he's in play because he's getting 32 minutes. Although, still, you can't be excited about it. If Markieff is out, then I would have interest in Wood. No, I really would. He's 4K on FanDuel, and he's 3.9 on DraftKings. If he's not unleashed without Markieff, you know, I don't know when he would be after already showing some nice flashes. So, you know, if you don't want to use Wood in cash, that's fine. But tournaments for sure. Other than that, you know, the Pistons, it's been pretty sickening to watch them play. We've got Frazier and Kennard and Snell. Derrick Rose, he's already dealing with some injuries. He's a hamstring, I don't know what it is. He's 5.7K on both sites. Clearly, though, he's been good. So you can consider him. Just check the news and make sure he's going to play because I think he's dealing with a hamstring now. Only 20 minutes last game. So if you're only 20 minutes, like that's tough. The other guy who I do like a lot in this game, and I'm going to give strong consideration to putting him in my cash games, is Drummond. Drummond's been really good this year, really consistent. Last game, I was nervous about Marcus Gasol defense. Didn't really matter. He popped off 50 against Marcus Gasol. It was impressive. And against the Bulls, Bulls are one of the worst rebounding teams in the league. Wendell Carter, who I really like as a real-life player, is just too small. Drummond's, 4 or 5 inches taller than Wendell Carter? So this seems to me like an easy 20-20 game for Sleepy Drummond, and I like him a lot. On the Bulls side, Markkanen is popping off in every optimal lineup I make on both sites, and that makes me nervous. He's been really inconsistent to start the year. The usage is not great. By the way, the Bulls as a team, very disappointing. They were like a dark horse team that a lot of people thought could maybe make the playoffs, and they had, you know, had some really bad losses. I think they lost to Charlotte already, which is, you know, not good. Lost to Cleveland last game. That's clearly not good. You know, Markkanen, the usage, you know, the first game of the season, memory popped off 60. Ever since then, he's been bad. The usage is not great. He's taking like 12, 13 shots a game. He's shooting like 30%, 33%, a little bit over that maybe. Nothing really to like on the surface except the price. The price is down to 7.3. You know, he was up to 8.2 about a week ago. So he's 7.5 on DraftKings, 7.3 FanDuel. You know, it's a fine matchup. Detroit's not a good defensive team. The pace of this game will probably be pretty bad, though. But I guess I do have some interest in Markkanen. We'll see what his ownership is. But he's fine. Zach LaVine, another guy. Last game against Cleveland, like the entire team just looked like Denver did on Thursday. Just very lethargic. And that can happen in a long regular season, but tends not to happen in the first week of the season, right? So I don't know. But I do have some. I'm not going to give up on Zach LaVine yet. I mean, Otto Porter, he's basically free. He's 5.5 on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, he's 4.3K. I mean, Jesus, like that's really cheap, man. Now I know his minutes aren't great, but I think he got close to 30 last game, didn't he? Or 28 minutes. Like, that's fine. He got 25 fantasy points. On DraftKings, he may make my cash game lineup at that price. Then you got Satoransky and Dunn and White, and I don't know. I mean, Satoransky, it hasn't happened yet. I had really high expectations for him, but he's in a timeshare with Dunn, and it's hard to get really excited over it right now. Next game up, Lakers-Mavs. 216 over-under. Lakers a 1.5-point favorite. Need some water. Man. Guys, I'm so tired. It's 5:20 in the morning. Why do I do this to myself? So on the Lakers side, this is pretty cool. So Kuzma's back. Kuzma's making his first game of the season. 4.9K on FanDuel. 6K on DraftKings already. Jesus, DraftKings didn't waste any time. At that price, I mean, like, we'll see what Vogel says about giving how many minutes he'll get. They need him. They need a scoring guy off the bench. So he's better than KCP. So this will help them. Ultimately, I could see the Lakers closing games with Davis at the 5 and Kuzma at the 4. I guess that would be the case. Ultimately for them. But first game back, how much exposure to Kuzma do we really want? Unless I hear he's going to play 30 minutes or 25 minutes, probably will wait and see approach. Other than that, you know, clearly this is Anthony Davis's team, right? If you've been watching the Lakers, I mean, it's not even close. Davis is the best player on that team by far. They run their entire offense through Davis. Davis is just a menace defensively as well. 40 points, 20 rebounds in 3 quarters last game. He's just great. As long as he can stay healthy, he's going to be in the MVP race all year long. LeBron just seems perfectly content to pick and choose his spots, when to be aggressive. But, man, they run so much stuff offensively through Anthony Davis. And LeBron, last few games, he has not looked to score really almost at all until maybe late in games. And you know this 8 minutes or so that he plays without Anthony Davis, then he tends to get more aggressive. But at 10.8K on FanDuel and 9.9 on DraftKings, you know, I don't really see a reason to play LeBron right now. On a slate where you have guys who have massive ceilings like a Harden, Westbrook, Giannis, even Kyrie with his 36% usage rate. LeBron, he's probably going to go overlooked. So, you know, you want to play him just to get some leverage. Okay. Or if you want to stack this game up, because it will be a fun game, and it could be fast. I'm not sure how the pace will be. But, you know, you could do that. I don't envision myself with a ton of LeBron. Now, Anthony Davis, that's more interesting, right? I have some interest here. Him against Porzingis, that should be fun to watch, right? Before Porzingis got injured, he was a pretty good defensive player. So you have two just freak alien type bodies. So very curious to see how this game unfolds. I don't think I'll be playing much Porzingis at 8.5K on FanDuel and 8K on DraftKings. But not an awful play in tournaments. Davis, he didn't make the first few lineups I built, but I'm going to find a way to get some exposure. I'm just not sure how much. I think I just prefer other games, but nothing wrong with the way Davis is playing right now. Nothing wrong with it. The other Lakers, Bradley and Green and McGee and Howard, and, you know, you can play them, but probably not for me. On the Dallas side, I mentioned Porzingis. Doesn't feel like the right slate to unleash him against Davis. Luka struggled really. That was the most I've seen him struggle. I don't know, almost maybe ever. I don't know what his deal was. Now, Gary Harris just really locked him down last game against Denver. Only 26 fantasy points, 3 of 12, very bizarre. I don't expect that again. No issue going back to play Luka this late. The problem is I think I just like other point guards a little bit more. But never an issue playing Luka. Mentioned Carlisle already, that he's just, regarding his lineup, you could try to guess. No one knows what he's going to do. He started Seth Curry, you know, last game. You know, I think starting Seth Curry makes sense because, again, like, ultimately, when you got a guy like Doncic, you want to space the floor, right, with Doncic. And, you know, they started the season with DeLon Wright. DeLon Wright's not a very good shooter, a really good defender, but not a great shooter. So I think it makes sense to start Seth Curry. And Seth Curry's 3.7K on FanDuel, and he's 3.3 on DraftKings. Like, I'd have some interest there, I guess. You know, we know what he is. He's, if you play him, you hope he hits 5 3-pointers. Not going to do much else. But last game, 25 minutes and, like, 20 fantasy points. Like, that's okay for a cash game if he's, like, a last piece, right? Not someone you're going to target. You know, Dwight Powell didn't only play like 14 minutes his first game back. He's allegedly going to get more minutes. How many? We don't know because Carlisle will never tell us. Maxi Kleber's been really good. He's been consistent. He's been giving you almost 30 fantasy points or 25 at least in the last few games. Don't hate that, but obviously as Powell gets more minutes, Maxi will take a big hit. You know, then there's guys like Brunson Burner and Tim Hardaway Jr. I just don't think on this slate that we need to go there. Utah-Sacramento. 214 over-under. Utah is only a 5.5-point favorite. Well, I guess it's in Sacramento. But the two worst teams in the league, well, I guess we have to talk about them because they're back-to-back here, are the Kings and the Warriors. Now, a week ago, if I would have asked you who are the two worst teams in the league, no one would have said the Kings and the Warriors, right? I mean, we both thought. Now, I was not high on the Warriors. I thought that they really would struggle to make the playoffs, but I thought they would be in that hunt for sure for like a 7-8 seed. And with the Kings, I thought they would be in the hunt for, you know, that 8 seed and maybe miss out. But they've been so bad. The entire city has already turned on Luke Walton. I mean, when you take a step back, you could see this coming, man. Like, any franchise that pays $20 million to Harrison Barnes, and then how much would they pay? What they paid Deadman Walking? They paid Deadman what, $30 million for 2 years? Something crazy. I mean, and by the way, Deadman's now out of the rotation. I mean, so they have just been abysmal. And by the way, like, their strength last year was running, right? The pace, playing with pace, like getting Fox out in transition, letting Buddy get some open threes. And this year, by playing Harrison Barnes at the three, Bjelica at the four, you know, starting Deadman, it slowed down the pace. They weren't even playing fast. I don't know what the hell they're doing. It's just an awful organization all the way around. Not to mention Luke Walton's an idiot. You know, like, they should play Barnes at the four. You play Bogdanovich at the three, and you know, with Fox and Buddy. Like, it's not rocket science. And then you pick up the damn pace. Whatever. But they finally, you know, did start Holmes last game, and now we found out after lineup lock on DraftKings, a lot of us were able to pivot in Holmes or swap in Holmes. FanDuel was too late. Deadman, again, barely played at all. Only played because Holmes got into foul trouble in the third quarter. But Holmes has been tremendous. The problem is he's 6.5K on FanDuel. And he's 5.5K on DraftKings. So DraftKings, it's fine. Again, 45 and 42 fantasy points. Holmes is just a guy who plays at such an intense energy level every second he's out there. He's always been a fantasy point per minute monster, a guy we've always wanted to get more minutes. It appears he's going to have his chance. The problem is now he goes up against Rudy Gobert and Utah. So I see foul trouble, and I see the worst matchup that he could have. Now, I mentioned on a lot of shows in previous years, look, man, you can attack Rudy Gobert from a DFS perspective. It's happened many nights. So Holmes still could be fine here. I just probably prefer other routes. So, yeah. And then the Kings in general. Fox up to 8.5K now. So, I don't really want to attack the Utah team too much. Buddy Hield maybe in a tournament. Bogdan was like 3.8K on DraftKings. Now he's up to, what, 4.5 with his 20 minutes a night. I probably won't play a lot of Kings. on the Utah side. Mike Conley finally turned it around last game. It was bound to happen, you know, after you know, being outplayed every game by Moutier, and like some like real concern around the league, like maybe he's dealing with, I don't know if it, it was like, what was his injury a couple years ago? It was something with his foot, right? But there was like some concern, I guess, even in the organization a little bit. But last game, 11 of 17 from the field, 42 fantasy points. Like the thing about him this year, his usage, I don't think I've ever seen his usage higher. He was close to like 30% the first week of the season. I certainly didn't expect that. I thought he'd be the old school Mike Conley, more of a facilitator. But like his assists haven't been great. Like he had one assist and then five assists the last two games. He's only been over five assists one game this year. So I'm sure they're still trying to work things out. And eventually, you know, 3 months from now, they'll be a different team, especially offensively. Defensively, they're already really good. So they are playing way up in pace. So Conley at that price, at 6.9 on FanDuel and 6.7 on DraftKings, I'm fine with it. Again, I love point guard, so I don't know how much I'll get to it. But, you know, if this was the Kings from last year, I'd probably be more excited. But, you know, Conley, Mitchell, fine. You know, Bogdanovich at 5.3K. The Utah Bogdanovich, not the... By the way, you could play both Bogdanoviches and go crazy. But I think I like the Utah one more in this game. He's 5.3 on FanDuel, 5.4 on DraftKings. That seems like just a nice, safe cash game play with some upside potential, too. And that's about it. It's weird, man. Like, with the Kings, last year we were just so giddy to roster guys against the Kings. And now it's like, it's just like, whatever. So, again, there's probably some Utah guys that you can use, but I think Bogdanovich may be my favorite out of them right now. Final game of the night. You got Spurs, and then you have, Jesus, what probably will be now the worst team in the league. Assuming Curry's out for, what, 2-3 months. The Warriors, on Wednesday. Did Curry break his hand or his wrist? I don't remember. I think it was it the hand? Was it his left hand? You know, I know that I remember the play vividly because I was watching it when he you know, was driving. He fell. He tried to brace his fall with his left hand, left wrist. And then Baines fell right on it, man. Frickin' Baines. and then poof, there goes the Warriors season right there. Now, by the way, in that game, they were already like down 30 to Phoenix in the second quarter. And they've been just dreadful this year, especially defensively. Like, they can't stop anything. It's been embarrassing. And then you look at the names that they're trotting out, and then you're like, yeah, of course they suck. When you trot out Jordan Poole and Glenn Robinson and Damian Lee and Kai Bowman and Marquise Chris, who's now benched and probably will never see the court again. So it's just, you know, a disaster for the Warriors. But then again, they were going to struggle anyway, so, you know, losing Steph, if this does give them a chance for, a really high lottery pick, ultimately, maybe this is the best thing for them. But, man, it is going to be painful to watch them play. Man, and moving into that new arena, you guys say karma's a bitch, man. You get the coward. You're the epicenter of NBA action for, what, 3 to 5 years? How about that? How about this now? You suck. You're the worst. So what are we going to do? Well, from a DFS perspective, the sites did a really good job of pricing up D'Angelo Russell. 9.4K on FanDuel, 8.9 on DraftKings, and first game back he gets the Spurs. Now, DeJounte Murray's going to sit out. He's on like a minutes limit, and they're going to be so careful with DeJounte Murray. So they're resting him on this back-to-back. That means Russell's going to get Derek White defense. Like, man, like that's scary because Derek White's gonna have like two or three like just highlight blocks on Russell tomorrow. It's gonna be great. I don't think I want to pay that price on Russell. I know I think in optimizers keep spitting out Russell on DraftKings for me. It's fine. He's going to have to shoot a ton, right? They have no one else to score. I mean, how many minutes and shots can Jordan Poole take? I guess we're about to find out. But Russell, look, I'm fine if you want to play him. I'll probably be under the field against the Spurs. But someone's got to score. You know, Draymond's just staring at me, but I don't know. What do you do with Draymond here? I'm not sure how much Draymond I want to roster here. It looks like Kerr is going to start Jordan Poole, Glenn Robinson, and then Eric Paschal. Like, he's been the one guy, if you watch the Warriors play, who's been standing out. Like, he just looks really good. I didn't see him play in college, and like, he almost reminds me of his body type looks like Draymond Green. There are two Draymond Greens out there, except this guy is actually more of an offensive guy. He's aggressive. He's mobile. He's sturdy. He gets to the rim pretty nicely. He's got an okay shot. Doesn't really take threes. But I don't mind him. At 5.1K on FanDuel and 4.7 on DraftKings. You know, I'm assuming Jordan Poole does get the start. So, yeah, I would have some interest there. It's 3.8 on FanDuel and 3.2 on DraftKings. He's not shy. I'll tell you that. Watching Golden State, he comes in and he just chucks the ball. That's not going to get in Steve Kerr's graces. So, ultimately, would it shock me if he doesn't play a lot of minutes? No, it would not. So, I don't love that play, but I have some interest. You know, Glenn Robinson is just, if you need just a competent player on the court to, stabilize, your lineup, he's probably going to have to play a lot of minutes now just because, how many other young guys can you count on that team? Not many. So, Glenn Robinson's out of necessity. Maybe you can look that way. And then the one guy, who I would look to if the minutes are there. I need to see how many minutes he can play. I've always liked Alec Burks. I've always liked him. He played 17 minutes his first game. He's always been like he's aggressive. He's attacks. He attacks the glass on both ends. Again, not a great shooter, but he's streaky when he does make shots, and he can put up a big line. So if Alec Burks. And I don't care if he starts or not, but if he can get 24 minutes, and I'm seeing he's like the highest projected guy out of the pool, Damian Lee out of that bum bunch. So Burks, okay, but ultimately we're gonna have to figure out what Kerr's rotation ends up being. One of these guys is probably gonna step up. Who's it gonna be? Honestly, all these guys are such bad. Not NBA talent level players. I don't know which one's gonna ultimately be the one to getting Kerr's good graces and see 30 plus minutes a night. Maybe no one. We'll see. On the Spurs side, the Spurs are in a good spot. It's a back to back. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge let everyone down on Thursday. If you faded Bam, same price on FanDuel, and he was cheap on DraftKings too. A nice pivot was going to LaMarcus Aldridge, and he just shit the bed. It just happens. I mean, he's been good. He's been pretty good this year. I mean, 44 and 45 FanDuel points the two previous games, and then on Thursday, I don't even know if he had 20. He was really bad. a bounce-back spot here against the Warriors. It's fine. DeMar DeRozan. Again, Golden State, dreadful defensively, right? But the main guy here that probably is going to make my cash game lineup, at least as of now, is Derek White. Again, no DeJounte Murray. So White and him have basically been splitting minutes. White, by the way, was great on Thursday. He popped off over 30 fantasy points. And I think the last two games now he's been over 30 fantasy points. And that's you know, not playing, that's playing like 25 minutes. So, you know, we saw what he can do last year. He has a ceiling of 50 fantasy points. He stuffs the stat sheet. He can get blocks and steals and rebounds. He does everything out there. Against D'Angelo Russell defense or whoever the hell is going to try to guard him, I love the Derek White play. And then, you know, the other Spurs, you know, I'm fine with any of them, really. But, you know, White is by far my favorite one on the slate. Rudy Gay keeps popping up in optimal lineups. Rudy Gay was good on Thursday as well. He's cheap. He's 4.6 on FanDuel, 4.7 on DraftKings. The problem is I hate playing Rudy Gay on a back-to-back. But, you know, as a last piece, I don't mind that as well. All right, that's it. That's the slate. So we've got 8 games. We have a lot of certainty, a lot of uncertainty, you know, a lot of juicy games, a lot of scary games. It's going to be a fun night. Looking forward to it. So that's it. Man, what a week, right? Whew, man. I feel like it flew by. I'm exhausted. I'm going to bed, man. It's 5:42 in the morning. All right. Remember, you want to join Slack, let me know. Otherwise, I hope you had a good week. Hope you have a good weekend. And hope on Friday you win all the damn money. For the bailiff, for the judge, court is adjourned.